What I'm really interested in talking about, or this is the background of my lecture, is the proliferation of written constitutions after 1787. In 1786, no independent country anywhere in the world has a single written document that it styles a constitution. But then, of course, in 1787, you get the drafting of the US federal constitution. And because this happens at a time when the newspaper press is exploding across the globe, when print is expanding exponentially, the impact of this extraordinary document is felt not just in the new United States, but increasingly across the globe. And in a sense, the spread of written constitutions is a great success story. It's part of what makes an increasingly unified world in terms of state organization. At the end of the 20th century, there was hardly a single country, except my own, the United Kingdom, which didn't have a written constitution of some kind. But what I want to do is not just describe this triumphant trajectory, but also pose some questions. Because the makers of 1787 and many of the people who followed them wanted to use a written constitution not just to order government, but to create a nation, to embody identity. And one of the things I want to discuss in my lecture is what this has actually meant, particularly in regard to the United States, in regard to the United Kingdom, and in regard, of course, to Australia. Because identity is a very slippery concept. And the identities that written constitutions have embodied over time are not necessarily the ones we'd like to think are so. People tend to, I think, over-sentimentalize about the US Constitution. It was, of course, a remarkable document, and the makers who assembled in Philadelphia that summer in 1787 were remarkable men. But I think one of the problems is that this has been such an influential constitution that different cultures tend to measure themselves against it. And people often exaggerate the degree to which Americans know their constitution and abide by it. Recent opinion polls have shown, or seem to show, that 80% of Americans, at least 80% of the Americans that were investigated, have never read their constitution. In fact, it often comes as a surprise to Americans, not least to those on the right, that the US federal constitution, for example, makes no mention of the word God. So, I mean, this is something that I think needs to be realized, that constitutions are important props of identity, but they're often important because people imagine things in them, not necessarily because what is actually contained in the texts in question. The United Kingdom doesn't have a written constitution in the sense it doesn't have a single codified constitution. It has, of course, many different texts that compose its working constitution, iconic texts like Magna Carta, the Bill of Rights, the Petition of Rights, and so forth. And it has all sorts of parliamentary legislation. Why didn't it develop a written constitution of its own? Partly, I think, because many Britons didn't feel the need to have one. Again, the element of imagination is very important here. You find Britons in the 18th century, the 19th century, right up to the 1950s, 1960s, talking about the British Constitution with great pride, as though it has concrete existence. And many British colonists and settlers did the same. If you look at Australian history in the 19th century, even Australians who increasingly are feeling restive against rule from London, they're still talking proudly about the achievements of the British Constitution. So I think it's partly that, a certain degree of complacency. But it's also that written constitutions historically have usually been produced at times of crisis or national rebirth, when a country becomes independent, when it's just won a war, or when it's just lost a war, or when it's been invaded and has just freed itself. When you get those kind of crises, there's often a feeling that a society, a polity, has to remake itself. And making a new constitution achieves that. But of course, as regards Britain, there hasn't really been a successful invasion of Britain since the Dutch invasion in 1688. So there hasn't been a civil war since the mid-17th century. There hasn't been a major revolution. The monarchy is still around. Now, I'm sure that if Britain had, say, been invaded by the Germans during the Second World War, many horrific things would have happened. But what also probably would have happened is that post-war, post-invasion, the British might have created a written constitution. But in a stable polity, it's asking a lot for politicians to take time off and to take the risk of drafting the country anew.